chapter 13 in your Bibles. Also, there's a song that Brother Don is going to punch a button on back there in a minute. And I want you to listen to this song whenever you're ready there, Brother Don.
Sin, I wondered what is life worth living for. I searched for the answers, I searched for the truth. It was something I just could not ignore. But then I heard about Jesus and the light that He gives, a life forever on that heavenly shore. So I trusted in Him and He gave me that life. It was something worth living for. Now I'm not living for money, I'm not living for fame. I found something worth living for. I am no longer helpless, I'm no longer the same, since I made Jesus Christ my Lord. And I will praise Him and praise Him till the day that I die, and I'll begin my praise on heaven's shore. For in Jesus I have found everlasting life, something worth living for. Stock of this old world. Many times I find myself pleading to God, I can't go on down here anymore. But then my spirits are lifted when I look up to Him, and He reminds me of that heavenly shore. Oh, the glory that waits when I get to the gates, it'll be something worth living for. Now I'm not living for money, I'm not living for fame. I found something worth living for. I am no longer helpless, I'm no longer the same, since I made Jesus Christ my Lord. And I will praise Him and praise Him till the day that I die, and I'll begin my praise on heaven's shore. For in Jesus I have found everlasting life, something worth living for, living for.
That was a little fast. You had to pay attention. You had to listen quick. But hopefully you got that song. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off all the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in clambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask as you open up these holy scriptures that you'll guide and direct and instruct and let us see the importance of what you've laid before us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. William James said, the greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. What's on your to-do list that will make it into eternity? This little paper that we passed out here, you know, I got a colored one here. Yeah. You put your name up here. When you were born over here, the other side's blank, right? You know what this dash is in the middle? That's your life. When they carve out your tombstone, they put a little dash in the middle. When you were born, when you were die. That little dash in the middle represents your life on the tombstone. Doesn't seem like much, does it? There was a Norwegian one time that was keeping all kinds of records of his life. And when he got about 60 years old, he went to his store and took out all the books. And he started figuring out how long that he had waited in line. How many hours he'd spent tying a tie. How many hours he'd told the dog to get down and be quiet. He had all these things written down in his life. But there was nothing that was going to go into eternity. Old Chinese proverb talks about death. It says you put your hand down in a bucket of water. Then you pull your hand up out of the bucket of water. The hole you leave is your life. We've been doing a series in Sunday school on victories in your life and how to make decisions in your life and things that go through in your life. This portion of Scripture that we have here in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to get up. It's time to wipe the sleepy drools out of your eyes. Get the old cold wash rag and throw it on your face. And get up in the morning and go, because it's time to wake up. Because it says your salvation is getting nearer than when we first believed. You see, your soul is saved. When you got saved, your soul got saved, if you're saved. This body did not get saved. Someday it's going to go on the ground and somebody's going to put one of these tombstones over the top of your head, if you got enough money for one. It may just be one of those little metal things that stick in the ground. Cost a lot of money to die. But anyway, you see, we have not received all of our salvation yet. We won't receive that till we get to heaven. It says the Holy Spirit that dwells in your soul is the earnest of your salvation. Promise that He's going to buy it back later. And that's what dwells in your heart. But someday, when they put you in that long box and put you in the ground, by that time, you're gone. And if you're saved, you're going to enter into salvation. The rest of your salvation, the rest of things, glorified body in heaven with Jesus, walking the streets of gold, being there, everything that He's promised. That's what it says here. For it now, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. It's not when you're getting closer to being saved. They're already believed. They're already believers. Don't take things out of context and make them something else. Our son went to Christian school his whole life. And he was a smart kid. But he just got B's and C's and D's and stuff most of the time. Until his senior year. And he realized, hey, I'm almost done. And if I want to go on anywhere in life, I've got to have some good grades. Well, that's kind of late in the senior year to figure that out, you know? Awake. I don't know how many years any of us have. But some of us are getting closer to the other side than when we begun. What is that little dash in your life? What goes into that little dash in your life? Excuse me. What fills in that space in your life? What can you say that's in that life that's going to go into eternity? Sometimes they put a little something on your tombstone. So-and-so was this or did that or whatever, you know. We saw one time. It says, thanks for stopping by. Well, that was interesting. What are they going to put on yours? What are they going to put on yours? Great mama, great daddy, great businessman. I don't know. What are they going to put on yours? What do you want them to put on yours? What do you want that dash in your life to represent? I don't know if they used to carve them out with a hammer and a chisel on the stones. They probably don't do that way anymore. All it takes is one little chisel and one, boop, and there's the dash. There's the dash. Been out to some gravesides lately and looked at all those people out there. All of those lives out there. Been up to the Veterans Memorial in Santa Fe. Everything's all lined up. Everything's all symmetrical out there. No matter which way you look, everything's in line. All of those lives out there. All of those lives. They all have a little dash. All of those lives out there have a little dash. Many of them have been forgotten. Many of the dashes, nobody to remember them, nothing there, been forgotten. Oh, God remembers. God remembers. Some of you didn't make it to Bible study this morning. Some of you won't make it to the evening services today. Some of you won't even make it to the midweek services. Now, maybe you just can't come. Maybe you don't want to. I've already been there. Super Bowl's tonight. I've got to watch that. Or you just don't have enough time. You just don't have enough time. So you've got to decide what's important in your life. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When the last side of that dash is filled in, it's too late. It's too late to do anything. James says, you know what? You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. You know the vapor? Well, people don't use them little teapots hardly anymore. It's a microwave now. But that little steam that comes up, it just disappears into space. It's gone. Talks about the grass withers and dies. We look at our life. 40, 30, 50, 70, 80 years. Seems like a long time. We have lots of history in there. Lots of things we've done. But when it all comes down at the end, what's in that dash? What's in that spot in the middle? What does God have written down in His book that you have done? Maybe it's full. Maybe there's a little. Maybe there's not. We got this gospel track we use lots of times. It says, "I'll do it later." About little Johnny, always going to do it later. Always going to do it later. I was thinking about this. The land of manana. The song they used to sing back, a long time ago, about the roof and the raining and it's leaking. About manana. He says, "Hey, we can't work on the roof. It's raining." And then it's all sunny and shiny. He says, "We don't need to work on the roof. It's beautiful. Look at the light." It's always manana. It's always manana. James says, "You don't know what there's going to be tomorrow. You don't know that." Now, that doesn't mean you sit home and don't do anything. But see, you don't know what there's going to be a tomorrow. In Proverbs, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Wake out of sleep and be alive in your life. "Well, I'm going to do this for God, or I'm going to do that for God, or I'm going to straighten out my life later, or I'm going to quit the cigarettes or booze or whatever. I'm going to do that later." It's time to awake now. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. "Well, I was at church last week. I don't need to come this week." Or, "I was there this morning. I don't need to come tonight." Awake. It's getting closer than you realize. It says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of life." Armor of light, Jesus Christ. Darkness is coming. This world is getting darker and darker and darker. Walk honestly. Rioting, drunkenness, wantonness, clamoring, strife and envy. All these things are listed. It says, don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're more worried about today. We're more worried about what we can get today. We're more worried about what we can have today. And doing this and doing that. And don't have time for God. What are you going to put in that little dash in your life? How much more time do you have to fill that spot up? There's a legend about Satan and his demons having a discussion. And they was discussing how they were going to convince people not to get saved, to believe in Jesus. Well, one demon comes up and says, "Well, I'm just going to go down there and tell people that heaven's not real. There is no such place." And old Satan says, "No, that's not going to work. The Bible's full of things about promises about the heaven and being able to go there. And they've got a book down there that I can't destroy. And they're going to have that." No, that's not going to work. Well, the other demon says, "Well, I'll go down and tell them that hell's not real. It's just a figment of imagination. They're living in hell now. Hell's not real." He says, "No, that won't work. Jesus preached and taught more on hell than he did in heaven while he was here." Well, there was one demon sitting back in the shadows, back there in the back. And he says, "I'll tell them that there's plenty of time. I'll tell them, just wait. There's plenty of time. You can take care of that later." Not saying that Jesus isn't real. Not saying that heaven's not real or hell's not real. Just, you don't have to worry about it. Just take your time and
Worry about it later. Satan says, I like that idea.
And Satan added something to it.
And those that we lose to the gospel, we'll tell them that there's plenty of time to serve God later.
So the same tactic works with people putting off salvation as it does them putting off serving God. There's plenty of time.
Have you noticed on most alarm clocks, there's another button there. And it's the largest button that's on there. Many times it's a big bar that goes all the way across the alarm clock. What's it say? Snooze. What's that do? Turns the alarm off for another 10 minutes or whatever.
Boop. You know, you don't even have to wake up. You don't even have to open your eyes to hit it. You just go, boop. Snooze button comes on.
And most of them, I don't know how they work, but maybe 3 or 4 times and it don't even come on anymore after that. You just hit the snooze button. You know. There's a lot of Christians that have been hitting the snooze button in their life. Later. Boom. Next week. Later, hit the button.
I was up too late last night watching that movie on the cable. I can't get up in the morning and go to church. Snooze button. I'll make it to 11 o'clock. Snooze button. Well, I'll go this evening. Snooze button.
Wednesday comes around. Oh, God, I can't be there Wednesday. I'm tired. I can't. Somebody calls up. Hey, let's go out to eat and go out to eat. I'll buy. Okay, you're gone, man. Hit the snooze button.
Ought to be right up here. Bonk, bonk, bonk. Yeah, that's where the snooze button ought to be. That's what we're doing, huh? Canceling those thoughts out. Putting them away out of our life.
We hit the snooze button. Bonk. Hit the snooze button.
And what happens when you finally roll out of bed? Stiff. Back hurts a little bit. Been laying down too long, huh? That's what happens in your Christian life. You've been hitting the snooze button too much in your Christian life. Your soul gets a little stiff. Your soul tends to get a little rigid. Have to get up in the hot shower in the morning. Let that water beat on your back and on your neck. Loosen it up again. Take a couple of ibuprofen or whatever, you know. A couple of cups of black coffee. Here we go. What happens when the coffee wears off?
What?
Huh. About 10 o'clock, candy bar. Lunch comes around. Eat that food. And what's that sign they used to have at work? If you don't believe the dead come back to life, be here at 5 o'clock. Ready to go. Home. Walmart or whatever. Drive up. I mean, all these restaurants are having drive up now. And they bring it out to the curb. I mean, I don't know. Some of these Chili's and all these nice restaurants. You just call them up and they'll bring the food out to the curb. Put it in your car, take it home,
Push a button on the garage door, get in, goes down, go back in the house, open up your bag, eat. Didn't even see the air that day. Had the air conditioner on, had the heater on. Drive up everything. Microwave's too slow. We still don't have time for God. There's more money, time-saving machines and devices today. I mean, they used to have to go to church in the wagon. Used to have to do their laundry out at the stream on a rock. Had to make your own butter. Had to get your own cow milk out of the cow. Had to get your own bacon from the pig. All of those things. And people served God then. Look at these great preachers from the 1800s and early 1900s. Wrote all these magnificent books. And they're good books. And they're wise. And they have a lot of wisdom. They didn't have washers and dryers and microwaves and laundry mats and all those things. Telephone, computers, internet. I mean, any of that stuff. This generation should be able to do more for God than anybody. I mean, we can hop on an airplane and be in another country. Get on your cell phone, call another country. There's less missionaries out there than there ever was. Why? Because we're asleep. What's going to fill in that little dash in your life? How much more time have you got something to put in that dash? Not so they can put something on your tombstone. Not so you'll be remembered and have a book written about you. What is Jesus going to say when he sees you in heaven? What is Jesus going to say when you walk through that gate of pearl? What's Jesus going to say? I don't know. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done, thy part-time servant. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know what he's going to say. But I bet you do. I bet you do. Well, you're the pastor. You have to be there. No, I don't have to be here. I used to come to church all the time before I was pastor. Why? Because we chose to. Why? Because it was a priority in my life. I wasn't always that way. No. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Jesus Savior, Christ Messiah. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't worry about those things. He'll take care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's your priority? Are you happy with where your life is now? Are you happy where it's going? Are you happy with what you have and what's happening and what's going on? I hope you are. But as long as you put God first, all these other things will be taken care of. But you have to choose to put God first. Has there been a time in your life that you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Well, I've always believed. It's not what God says. There has to be a time. Today is the day. Well, I know who he is. I know about him. I know what about him. Yeah, yeah. The devil knows who he is. The devils know and tremble. The demons, it says. They got more sense than some people. You look in the accounts of every time that someone had a demon and Jesus cast him out. Every time that demon knew who Jesus was. Oh, thou Son of God. Oh, thou Son of the Most High. Why hast thou come to torment us before our time? Everybody knew. They all knew who he is. They all knew his power. They weren't believers. Knowledge applied. In Hebrews it talks, after they received, there remaineth, after they received the knowledge, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Once you know, and you don't accept Jesus, then he's fulfilled his obligation and told you and give you an opportunity. What are you going to do with that opportunity? Do you want Jesus to be in charge of your life? You see, it's not just escaping hell. It's not just fire insurance. It's asking God to be a part of your life. Some people don't want that. Oh, nobody wants to go to hell. Oh, they say jokes about it, but it's not real. When it comes down to it, they don't want to go to hell. But they really don't want Jesus to be in their life either. Can I eat, have your cake and eat it too? No. There hasn't been a time in your life when this last part comes across and it's filled out. Where will you be? Where will you be? I don't know. God says these things are written so that you might know. Well, you can't know that. That's not what the Bible says. If you don't know, then the reason is you don't have it. If you have it, you know it. And Christian, is Jesus real to you? Are you serving God or you just been putting it off? I don't know what he wants me to do. Why don't you know? Why don't you know? He hasn't told me. Well, are you doing the basics? Are you saved? Reading your Bible? Praying? Giving to God? Coming to church? Listening to His Word? Studying? All those? Are you doing the basics? He's not going to give you the next step until you get the basics down. And then wait. Stay active and wait. I promise you, he'll call you to do something. Something. And most of the time, it's more than one something. Very seldom does he only have one something for you to do. Because you have more than one talent. But has there been a time that you asked Jesus to be your Savior? We're going to have a time of invitation. I ask you to stand to your feet. Miss Mary's going to come up to the piano. You think about something. What does God want in your life? What does God want to do in your life? What will you let God do in your life? Will you trust Him? Dear Jesus, we just thank you. God, we just ask that you'll help and guide and strengthen and that your Spirit will be in charge here and that you will give people courage to follow through with whatever you're burdening them about. We ask this in the name of Jesus.